During Snowmageddon, many community members came together to meet very real needs in their neighborhoods. Thousands of residents were hungry and had nowhere to turn for help. COVID-19 has once again highlighted that need. Two prominent artists, Mary Walsh and Louise Moyse, along with general manager of the Community Center Alliance of Newfoundland and Labrador, Kim White, they stepped up to the plate to help out through a fundraiser for the Community Center Alliance. It all started on day two of the state of emergency. By day three or four, they'd fenced some 80 people out of their kitchens. In the following days, they added some 50 or 60 volunteers and fed a couple thousand people. I caught up with Louise, Kim, and Mary to look back on Snowmageddon 1 year later. First, we'll hear from Kim White.
With regards to Snowmageddon, I mean, Louise reached out to me because we are friends and colleagues and wanted to connect in with our community centers and help with the community, the neighborhoods that we serve, the five neighborhoods. And we were just astounded by the outpouring from just individuals and then private sector as well to help through something that was totally unprecedented for us. We hadn't experienced this before and didn't really quite know how best to deal with it. We saw it coming out of it as the great opportunity to lift up the issue of food security in general. So we were really launching into discussions with levels of government and other community partners about why was food security in such a crisis situation and what could we do going forward when COVID hit.
Louise came by my house to pick up. I had seen Stone Soup, I think was a Facebook, and I'd seen that people were giving food. And when Louise and her partner came by, and she talked to me about the houses that she'd been delivering food to and that people didn't have food. And of course, like she said, there was no grocery stores. And I thought, oh, I can't believe this. Something has to be done. Then I got in with the community centers. I went to a couple of things and we realized that we could raise money for a one-off kind of event where we could get, and you know how kind and generous the artists of Newfoundland are, and we could do a one-off event. Of course, we couldn't have done it without Paul Pope, but we got all these extraordinary people, and Alan Doyle had already been using his foundation to raise money. There was a woman downtown who was cooking meals and delivering them. It was a great experience, actually, and it really points to that there is really no need for us to be in a food insecure place. That, you know, Sobeys and Dominion are throwing out food. Dominion is owned by billionaires who won't pay their employees a living wage, so they have to go to the food bank. It's like society seems to be completely out of whack. And I'm just hoping that coming out of this worldwide pandemic, and I know we won't be able to make huge change because huge change takes such a long time, but even if we could make some small change, you know, which I felt that Snowmageddon gave us an opportunity as Newfoundlanders to kind of, to get ready a little bit for the COVID, you know what I mean? We weren't quite as shocked when we were all locked in.
How great is the need still right now when it comes to food? And then how has that had been highlighted through the COVID-19 pandemic again?
Yes, during Snowmageddon, it certainly revealed a lot of cracks in our system and in our society in St. John's and in Newfoundland and Labrador. And at that time, it became clear to us that the community centers had their ear to the ground and were direct connectors with a lot of people who needed extra support at that time. I think during Snowmageddon, a lot of us realized that there are gaps in our systems to food security and to equity, economic equity, and people wanted to do what they could. We were lucky enough at the time to realize during Snowmageddon that the people who had their ear to the ground throughout our city were the community centers. So that's why we wanted to work with them directly. They really helped us during Snowmageddon identify who needed food most. And then when the pandemic came, we said, we're going to have more problems. And with the COVID, we couldn't go door to door as easily as we did. We couldn't deliver food like we did. As Mary mentioned, there was a restaurant downtown that approached me through Food First NL and said they wanted to make meals. So we said, we'll raise money for meals. And the money we raised over the spring, I did a little birthday fundraiser, and then Mary and I did a Facebook fundraiser, and then Mary said, let's do a concert, and we had Paul Pope. And we raised about $85,000 that has so far helped support 8,000 meals, hot meals being delivered. But that's a stopgap measure. The charity model is not what we want, is not the ideal model. The community centers, something that I didn't realize how much work they do in our community to educate around food security, around food preparation, meal preparation. They help people find jobs. They do a lot of work with youth and children. And they need more support. But we can all do a little bit more from a community level. We can look around our neighborhoods, because each of us within Newfoundland and Labrador, within several hundred meters of our house, there are people who are food insecure. So what can we do? But we also have an election coming up, and the pandemic has shown that we continue to have gaps. So we really want people, the politicians, to speak to this. We want the Economic Recovery Commission to speak to this. And we need to ask really precise questions of how they're going to address these gaps.
Definitely. That, I mean, we've seen that. And we've seen it become exaggerated throughout COVID. The prices when Dominion was on strike. And then you saw the prices going up at other stores. And I see my own self. Live by myself, just one food budget, not a big eater. And I go in and then my bill has gone from, you know, gone up $20 per week, and I'm like, that's a lot of money. And so if you do look at the fact that people, if pre-COVID people were on a shoestring budget and not being able to meet their food needs, then it is increasingly getting worse. And I think now with all these factors coming together, we need to lift up the voices to say, what are the root causes and how can we get at it? And the living wage and the economic status are the things that we need to really now drill down on.
The CERB proved that it can be done. I mean, that $2,000 a month got out fairly quickly. They did a brilliant job. They got it into people's hands almost immediately. The idea of a living wage is not as bizarrely untenable as perhaps it was before we saw that it can be done, right?
This all started, of course, when we were dealing with Snowmageddon, the aftermath of Snowmageddon. But now we are here a year later, 8 or 9 months into this COVID-19 pandemic. So I guess this program continued, but why did you feel inspired to keep this going now, even a year later?
Well, we're actually at the point now, Mary and I, that we are regrouping and checking in with the community centers and checking in with our anonymous downtown restaurant and seeing where things are from that point of view and what else can we do. And Mary has committed to working, volunteering long-term with the Froude Avenue Community Center. And I also will be volunteering and have continued to work as long as was possible into the pandemic with Rabbit Town. But we have a lot of questions. What can we do next? Absolutely.
I'm on a committee, too, that's looking at food security. But it's looking at, getting fresh food to places like the Gathering Place and stuff like that. Like, we have a lot of community gardens. And in Nova Scotia, in order to get a community garden, you've got to say that you will give 10% of what you grow to places that need food, like the Gathering Place. You have to do that to get the community, use the community garden. So we're trying to come up with some processes that would make the larger grocery stores give food that is really good food, fresh food that they are throwing away because it didn't sell that week, and that they should, that we're trying to put it in place. They do it in France already. No supermarkets in France. It's against the law in France for supermarkets to throw out produce, right? The produce has got to go to where it's most needed, right? And so, we've remained, because it wasn't just Snowmageddon, was it? I mean, Snowmageddon just, Louise coming to my door that day made me more aware of what is actually going on. I know Kim is always aware because she's working hard every day, and it just, and so you can't, once you become aware, then it's hard to become unaware. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I mean, like Mary and Louise are saying, is that Snowmageddon highlighted an issue that really needed to be lifted up, and COVID just exaggerated it more and more every day. So it just is a daily reminder that the need is there. The need hasn't changed. The need has become more in some instances. So it's like Mary just said, once you know, you can't turn away and say, I don't know that anymore. We know that it's an issue. There's so many people out there that are working on food security. We need to come together, which, has been happening through COVID, through Food First NL, and the government has been supporting that. We need to do more of that and collectively change the tide on food security.
Kim White, Louise Moyes, and Mary Walsh, thank you all very much for this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.